Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello, welcome back to Tales of What. My name is Luke Condor, with a K. This is my what. Did you know that bizarro fiction found its start in the weirdo petri dish that is Portland, Oregon? But like any self-actualizing ball of bacteria, the genre soon swallowed its makers whole and decided it is going to take over the world. It's inclusive, this beast, and it wants everybody to climb inside and add to its swelling mass. It's the genre that makes insiders of the outsider. It makes people who like weird shit find other people who like weird shit. And people, when they discover the genre, they just want to get involved. Be it to evangelize or to create, or maybe just to whisper into the ears of those willing to listen. And here we are, many years after the genre first coughed out its first piece of literature. The genre's roots are still deep in Portlandia, but it can now be found all over the world. There's a BizarroCon in Spain. There's a whole scene in Australia. There's a lot of authors in Australia now. There are pockets of infection all over the globe, including one beneath my very feet. See, not long after I got into the genre, I looked around to see who was making this stuff, and I found the British Bizarro community, a cool little tight-knit group of Bizarro creators. And I thought, why not? Let's spend an episode sharing some of our very specifically weird tasting English spam. So, yeah. Sorry, better answer this. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Is that Luke?
Yeah. Yeah, is that Luke?
Oh, yeah. Go on.
Right. Well, I guess it starts with a man who finds a face in a slice of toast. No, it started before that. It starts with a man waking up, making coffee, and then finding a face in a slice of toast. It doesn't look like Jesus or anything. It looks like the man's old teacher from school. The one who said he was stupid in front of the whole class because he didn't know the German for the number 10. It's Zane, by the way. Anyway, the face in the toast didn't talk much at first, but it did eat. It liked onions. The rawer, the better. The man fed the face and the toast all the onions he could find, and when the thing opened its mouth, everybody in his office started to cry. Yes, the man took the toast with the face and the onion breath to work. He worked in an office. Nobody cared about a piece of toast. But they did start to cry, like I said, and when they asked why they were crying, the man just said it's because of the times, global warming and that. And they agreed and cried some more and sang a song together to raise their spirits. So the man says to the toast that you gotta speak sometime, otherwise this whole relationship is way too one-sided. And the toast doesn't say anything. Of course it doesn't, because it's just a piece of toast. But it does eat. And that night when the man falls asleep next to the piece of toast, he hears those children in that classroom laughing at him, and we hear the toast whispering, Zane. 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 The man doesn't eat the toast because the toast has a face, but the toast eats the man. Not his body, but his self-confidence. Soon everybody at work realizes that they're not crying because of global warming and that they only cry when he is there, and that is his fault. Anyway, the toast continues to eat onions and whisper, and sometimes the man stares at the toast and he looks at his buttery burnt bread eyes and sees that teacher and listens as it says Zane, Zane, Zane over and over. Anyway, eventually the toast isn't hungry anymore. Anyway, eventually the man doesn't want to leave the house because everybody cries and he couldn't remember the German word for the number 10 back when he was a kid in school. Anyway, the toast eventually leaves. Says he's tired of this country-ass town and wants to go to Vegas to get some of that raw Vegas onion. Anyway, the toast leaves and the man is small now. He climbs inside the toaster and pushes it all the way down. Maybe when it pops, he thinks. Maybe when it pops, I'll be better. Anyway, it doesn't pop. Things just don't work out like that in real life.
That was weird. That was our first caller of the show. We have another caller, should be calling anytime on his phone. Anytime now. Here we are. Okay. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah. Is that Luke?
Yes. It's me again. Luke. This one was sent to me by Liam Shardlow. He said it was called The Corpse in the Charity Shop Window. The corpse in the window of the charity shop once belonged to the Archer family on Cherry Tree Lane. As with most belongings, it was inherited and donated along with the items that held no to little worth. Many bodies had passed through the shop, but Mr. Archer was a particularly handsome mannequin, showing off his fetching purple tweed jacket quite nicely. Michael just wished they'd put some clothes on it. Underpants, for example. Michael took the tweed jacket off of Mr. Archer and admired it. Checked the price tag, noticing the single gold word inlaid upon it had excellent calligraphy. Liar, it read. Ah, well, it's one of those shops, said Michael to himself, not really knowing what he meant, but saying anyway to sound important. He thumbed inside the jacket, looking for the size label, finding another cryptic tiding, this time reading, Find the cashier. She exists. Michael looked behind him, into the shop's candlelit interior, at the sea of dusty second-hand porcelain spread across the walls like browning milk, piles of multicoloured, ill-fitting clothes, jigsaw puzzle boxes depicting the same languid dog, and of course, thousands of donated relatives that had as many missing parts as the jigsaw puzzles had missing pieces. Michael gazed into the labyrinthine mass of tat, but could not see the cashier at all. The shop was devoid of life.
The jacket lies!
He bellowed. The shop rumbled. The mass of forgotten things vibrated with his accusation, splitting walls and cracking skulls, smashing pots and bleeding the walls of matter. As the roof began to cave in, showering Michael with fossilised asbestos and inkless felt-tip pens, he wailed with anguish inwardly and sighed gently outwardly, as was the English way. I'll just leave this here, he calmly said over the roar of the shop disintegrating into itself. Michael took a crisp £5 note out of his pocket and placed it right into the hand of Mr. Archer before running out of the door, which chimed with his exodus, tweed jacket in hand. Mr. Archer frowned, his leathery dead skin creaking as he did so. That jacket had been a birthday present, and his wife had paid at least £20 for it.
One more phone call. One more caller. Another English... Another one from the Britain Island, British Island, England, the middle one. This should be any time now. Oh. This is Justin Fife on the phone here I've got, and he's going to narrate a story by Chris Meekings called The Thinking Man's Bicycle. Take it away, Justin.
It's barely coin o'clock in the morning, and the bourbon has only just taken the taste of Pepsodent from my mouth when she walks into my office. She's glass and alabaster, with curves in all the right places. Licorice nice. She walks across the room, her heels clicking like a cricket on death row. I listen. She tells me she has a problem. I tell her it'll cost her a pretty penny. She pulls out an ugly penny, and I take that instead. Beggars can't be choosers, especially with the price of flutes these days. She says her name is Gia. Should have told me everything I needed to know about the case. But I was broke, and she was in trouble. I'm a sucker for a dame. I offer her a chair. I pour a drink. Even though the sun has barely spat over the horizon, I try to split my face to hide who I am. But it doesn't come off. and I end up looking like a game show host with too much time on his hands. I take out a ruler and crack it in two. Put one half in my bourbon and stir. Length. She tells me her husband has vanished, and her brother is in Sing Sing for a stretch, so she's turned to me for help. Lucky me. Equations danced around her head, and my abacus strikes attention. I take her case, and I put it in the closet. I tell her I'll be in touch. I'm a good guy to have around when the chips go down, the tables go up. A real white knight. You shouldn't drink too hard on an empty stomach. The bar is the kind of dive that charges you extra when the lights go down. I go to the wood and order a drink. It comes with a shovel full of dirt, owl pellets, and a napkin to wipe the blood away. I dip my other half of the ruler in it and survey the scene. The bar is dark and wearing sunglasses. Midgets flit from table to table, asking for green wine and molasses. Nobody has any. I crack an egg on the bar. It sizzles to fried, sunny side up. None of this makes the boot polish blacker, so I ask some questions. How did you get here? Which way to Amarillo? Do you know where the Falcon is? The Nazis on the corner sing Sieg Heil, but no one else pays attention. Outside, the bicycle bell rings, and de Bergerac sniffs the glue. Of course, someone's in the know. I swallow my fingernails and wait patiently for the case to unfold. It doesn't take long. Gia knows who's to blame. I rip off my mustache and trench coat. No one can say I didn't try to get out. The fire licks up the side of the barn, salacious wafts, and the bicycle bell rings again. But the patrons pay it no mind. They staple down the fire to stop it spreading. I pull out my revolver and point it at the drink. It's always the ones you suspect the least who hurt you the most. The bourbon tries to make a break for it, but my gun sings and the bourbon has to listen. It's transfixed by the music. Distracted, it falls from the bar. Clatter tinkle on the floor. Thank God I'm wearing my galoshes. The bicycle bell rings once more, and I make notes on Mahatma Gandhi's treatises. Thank God, it was only a thinking man's bicycle.
Those three phone calls told different stories from Bizarro, originated in the UK. You can check out the British Bizarro community over on Facebook or on Twitter. Just go and search for them and they'll pop up. The first story, Zane, was written by me, Luke Condor. Charity Shop, the second story, was written by Liam Shardlow. And The Thinking Man's Bicycle was written by Chris Meekings and narrated by Justin Fife. The music in today's episode was provided by Ira Rat, Chris Tabriskie, and the Free Music Archive. So, we have one more episode of this first season of Tales of What. If you're enjoying it, please consider giving us a rating and review. Subscribe. You know, we want to know if you're enjoying the show or not. But one more episode to go. You'll be hearing from us very soon.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.